views expressed and the opinions given by the individual host and their guests do not necessarily reflect those of Para-X, its affiliates, or its sponsors.
Good evening, Para-X World. How's everybody doing tonight? Welcome to the Shadows Radio. And I'm Mark, and as with me as always is Rebecca.
Hey, how you doing?
Good, how you doing?
I'm awake.
That's good. That's a good start. And pushing the buttons for us, as always, is Mr. Eric. We appreciate him for the quiet things he does behind the scenes. Hi, Eric!
He's nodding at you.
Okay, that helps us. That helps us. So what's going on in the world of Rebecca?
Nothing much. Just house hunting and working and all that fun stuff.
How is house hunting coming?
Not fun.
No?
It's exhausting, to be honest with you. Very exhausting.
Still in the same town that you're looking at, or Jew?
Yeah, we kind of limited our search, so that makes it a little harder. But there's just not much out there that isn't, well, complete crap, to be honest with you. Like, people apparently leave their house, and just whatever's attached to the walls, they just yank. Like, there's no, I don't know. I guess I got spoiled by looking at some of the places my parents have bought. My parents have always bought new construction. They've never bought a used house.
Oh, yeah.
So that makes a whole bit of difference.
Yeah.
So.
You know, it's also depending on what happened at the house. Obviously, if it's like a foreclosure or something, yeah, they'll rip stuff right out.
Oh, yeah, we saw one that they actually carved FU into the carpet.
Sweet.
Like,
now that's somebody that cares.
That's classy.
That is classy. You know. Did you put a bid in?
Not enough. We let that one go.
Okay.
There was holes in the floor and other issues that were a little scary.
Other bad things going on, huh?
Yeah.
Oh,
and the neighbors,
man,
were scary.
Yeah. Well, you can never tell what you're going to get. Like when I moved out here, the one neighbor, real nice guy, I talked to him before I moved out here. I was talking to him all the time. I'd drive up, take a look at the house or something. He'd come over and talk to me. Since I moved in, he hasn't said two words to me, and that's been like 12 years now.
Well, that's good. Like, obviously, you made a good impression.
I know. We were all friendly and all that before I came in, and then as soon as we moved in, I guess he saw the wife and kids and dogs and went, yeah, forget this.
Nice. Well, you do have a giant dog, so.
Why didn't then? Tiki was an add-on.
Oh, all right, never mind.
And stop making fun of my dog.
I'm not making fun of your dog. I love your dog. He's a giant teddy bear. He's just 500 pounds of teddy bear.
Yes, he is. He's a fun dog.
Yeah.
And I like him, so I guess I'll keep him for a while.
There you go.
So what we got going on tonight?
We are going to be talking about the historic Black Horse Inn. We have the founder of Midnight Watchman, who's going to be joining us to talk a little bit about some of their work there. They've been one of the few paranormal groups recently who've been in there and got some great stuff. So we're going to talk to him in a minute. And he's got some other really cool stuff going on, some projects he's been working on. So we're going to talk to him real quick. So, John Fowler, are you there?
Yes, I'm there.
I had to repeat your last name in case you weren't sure who you are.
Well, sometimes I do wonder. Too many hats.
Exactly.
Did we say founder enough for you?
Yeah, I still find it weird that I actually founded a group of paranormal, because so many years I, you know, wanted to do it and just got pushed back, and then to see where, you know, we've come from in 5 years is just amazing to me.
Is that how long the group's been around, 5 years?
Give or take, yeah, 5 years. Time flies.
I'm going to be honest with you, I've been hearing the name for, it seems like, quite a long time. I mean, I guess you guys just came right in and made a big impression.
It seems that way. I try not to be like, get an inflated ego over anything, but I do know some groups seem to come to me and like I've been around forever, and I find that amazing because they started the same time we did. So I must be doing something right, and that's the only thing I can really say.
What made you start a group? Let me ask, if you don't mind me asking that silly little question.
Oh, no problem. I think that's one of the most interesting questions that groups can, you know, people can talk to you about is why. I had experience when I was younger in the trailer we lived in. Basically, we thought that our grandmother who passed away, who lived with us a little bit before she died of cancer, was still visiting us. And I saw a shadow person when I was really young. It passed through me. And that got my interest up, to say the least, because it was a very peaceful experience. It wasn't scary, wasn't, you know, freaky. We had so many experiences in the trailer that it was just insane, to be honest. I mean, doors opening, closing by themselves. I remember seeing shadow animals actually sitting in the bathtub, like a dog walking by, and it wasn't our dog. I mean, it's hard to explain some of that stuff to people, but because I know where the dog was at the time we had the gate up, but it definitely wasn't in the back section.
Oh, wow.
So, can't explain that, and I don't think it was a random dog, but, I mean, you never know.
Well, yeah, this is true. So, basically, it was an experience or experiences, multiple, that got you into it. But that doesn't necessarily mean that's why you would start a group. A lot of times, that might just be got you into the research aspect of it.
Yeah, I think for me it was a lot of combination of stuff. Like, that got me interested in it, and then, you know, seeing shows like Unsolved Mysteries growing up that had these, you know, true crime and then these basically paranormal ghost stories, you know, sparked my interest in the stuff, to say the least. And then even stuff like Ghostbusters, honestly, as a kid, made me think, you know, this is fun. Now, obviously, we don't bust ghosts. I mean, it'd be a fun job, I would think, but that's not what we do.
What are you talking about? I got a plasma pack right here.
Oh, Mark.
Yeah.
Oh, Rebecca, shut up.
Yeah, this is fun.
What was that?
Sorry, my computer just failed.
Oh, no.
Yeah. So, John, what got Midnight Watchmen into the Black Horse Inn?
Basically, one of the newer members we had added about 2 years ago, I believe it was, maybe a little bit more now. Time is just flying for me when it comes to the paranormal stuff. John Brandis, actually, he had seen a show on, I believe it was the Haunted from Animal Planet that they were on. Yes, the Haunted Animal Planet that Stemmies was featured on. And found out it was local. Him and one of his friends went to visit the place. They kind of they just missed the closing time. Because this is one of those places, a mom-and-pop run restaurant, bar. So their sign literally says 7 a.m. till. They don't have a set closing time. So they went to visit, just missed the closing time. Talked to a waitress, got some information in general. Then he had joined the group probably about a week or two after that. And he said, we should go check this out. We went down and checked it out. Talked to Heather, who was the assistant manager there, and basically said, you know, we'd like to talk to the owner. And she asked if we had a business card. I gave him a business card, and I think that's what got us in the door, honestly, is having a business card. I don't think he would have talked to us without that.
That's always a good thing, making that professional first impression.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so what's some of the history of Stemmies Place, or what used to be known as the Black Horse Inn?
Well, it was built in 1782, so it's definitely got many years of usage, to say the least. It's on the Delaware River, basically right below Easton, PA, on 611/River Road, which, you know, a lot of historic places are on that stretch of road from, you know, north to south. It's been a speakeasy-type place, allegedly. I think there's a disco hall in the 70s down in the basement.
Oh, nice. Don't say that.
That's the story I understand. It's when you go down in their basement, you can really see the different time periods, to say the least, the different renovations. You can see the original home structure where they might have had, like, storage for, you know, wood or coal or whatever they used to burn. And then as you go out, you can see some of them, like, the 20s and 30 style architecture that was added into it. And then as you get further back, you can see all the just different renovations over the years. I think it was even a bakery at one point in its history. Strangely enough, no one seemed to be able to run a business there for too many years without going out. That's why it's kind of been called the curse of that place. But he's doing very well, as far as I can tell. So,
well that's good. So let's touch on a little bit of the history of the building. You said it was built, 1792? Is that what you said?
82, yeah.
Okay. Is there any historical events that may have occurred there that we can relate to?
As far as I know, there's nothing that's, like, I don't think Washington ever stayed there or,
Oh, come on. He slept
Damn,
everywhere.
Damn, that was my next question.
that boy got around.
Most of the stories that I'm aware of for the history more go towards the 20s when the one mobster, I think it's Savio D'Amino. I never can say his name right. He's known as Johnny the Wop or the Wop. Was shot and killed by a Tommy gun, basically on the steps. And the people that did it weren't really ever convicted. So he supposedly haunts it. They've said he's seen it there. One of their waitresses, newer since Al owned it, the owner, died on property. And actually, some of our EVPs, he thinks is her because of the Frank's Box session we did down in the basement, which was actually interesting. I've never been cursed at more at my life than in that basement on the Frank's Box.
Really?
Nice.
Oh, my God. It was F this, F that. I might actually have 20 minutes of audio of cursing, basically, from that session.
I got to ask a question. I mean, Rebecca and I do our little hand signals back and forth here. But Frank's Box, what is your opinion on that? Obviously, you're using it, and you're using it frequently. But I've always felt that that is a tough piece of evidence, if you will, to take hold of.
It can be. And there's many reasons. Obviously, radio signals can cause problems, you know, and I don't want to say miscommunication, misinterpretation of stuff. Like, if you ask a question, you just happen to get a yes or, you know, any of these false positives or whatever you want to call them. We have run there. I shouldn't say that. We've changed how we've ran the Frank's Box. We now put the Frank's Box in a foil-lined box to block radio signals.
Oh, okay.
So it's especially in a deader area for signals, you should just hear clicks, and that's really all you should hear. You shouldn't get any signals coming through, no voices, no answers, no comments, no cursing especially. But even on the AM, FM band, you shouldn't be hearing cursing
at all. You're right.
So unless that's why I kind of...
he's having issues that day.
Oh, whoever that was not happy.
Yeah.
And I can honestly say when that was going on, it was very uncomfortable in that basement, like to the point of almost like the best way I can say it is like if when you were in school, if a fight broke out around you, everybody just huddling around you watching. That's kind of what it was like. You had just everybody there, like you're almost waiting for something to happen. But it was just ridiculous how much cursing was coming out of that.
All right. So before we jump into like some of the things that you've actually gotten off the Frank's Box, what are some of the, I guess, the legends, the lore, the stories that you're actually trying to track down at this building?
Well, like I said, one was Johnny the mobster.
Mm-hmm.
He had many names. I'm not even sure if they know his actual real name. But he's been seen there multiple times. I guess with the renovations of that place, where the bathrooms are currently actually was the original dining room of the house, which is kind of funny because that's where sightings are because the spirits apparently hang out in the dining room, which is now a men and women's bathroom.
Haunted bathrooms are always fun. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So he's been reported there. The waitress, Janet, has been reported being seen and done things. Usually new hires tend to get a milkshake thrown at them or dropped off the counters.
Nice.
Also, I think the Animal Planet focused on a dog that they had seen on property that he couldn't find again, like in the kitchen area on the steps, a black dog. So there's some varied stuff. I know our medium kind of said that there was a trickster spirit that's around the property, kind of protecting it, hangs out in the attic. We couldn't confirm or deny that, obviously. Anything with mediums is kind of hard to confirm or deny unless you get some solid evidence to back up what they're telling you.
Right.
Yeah.
And obviously it's also a trust factor, you know. Mm-hmm. If you're using somebody consistently, you have a trust built in. But sometimes some mediums go to these places and, you know, we ran into one of Fort Mifflin one time that just came in and was basically verbatim reading some of the books.
Oh, yeah.
You're like, come on, guy.
Yeah, the manager of Stemmy's told me so many stories about some mediums from other groups, and just some of the stuff that they came out with is just like, I don't want to say crazy, but it's really hard to verify unless you know somebody that was from that time period. You just can't verify it, especially parts like the illegal gambling or speakeasy part that may have existed there. There's been so many renovations. I'm not even sure how you'd go about that unless you find old owners that are willing to talk about it, you know?
Right. Oh, let me ask you a couple questions here. I had few things. First off, just out of curiosity, when was Stymies, let's call it, since that's the proper name now. When was that on Animal Planet? I usually find these things when they're on, and I don't recall seeing this one.
I do believe it was the first episode of Animal Planet's The Haunted, or Haunting, whatever that one's called. I always confuse their shows because they're so similar named. It was Murder at the Black Horse, I believe, is the name of the episode. I think it was the first episode, actually.
Oh, wow. Okay, I'm going to have to Google that. I want to track that one down. I don't recall seeing it. Dealing with Johnny, mm-hmm. With all the times that you've been there, have you gathered any evidence saying that you got Johnny? This is John. This is, you know, Whopper, I believe was the nickname you were using earlier.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
You know, have you gotten anything pointing to him?
I don't think we have. I kind of think everything we got is Janet. The more we put together the first time we were there and then the last time and then talking to the owner some more, I believe it's Janet who we made contact with. And if it's not Janet or Johnny, I'm not sure who. It could be possibly multiple other spirits that could be just hanging around there. The stories of this place, there's so many different legends associated with it. It's kind of hard to just narrow down, you know, who you're dealing with. We think it's Janet just from some of the stories we know from her on her personal life and, you know, our connections there. And that's the best we can, you know, think at this point.
Gotcha. I just had to do a quick refresh here, and all of a sudden I had you talking in both ears in a different cadence. Kind of threw me that way. What the heck just happened?
So, John, you say when you've got, you know, evidence that you think you've never gotten a name or anything like that?
No, but it is interesting, though, that this waitress did like to curse, and the F word was one of her favorite things to tell, you know, the owner and Heather. And we also had a couple of the EVPs off the... I'm not even sure if EVP is actually the correct term technically for something off of Frank's box, but...
close enough.
Yeah, it's the same family, if you will. But there's also some interesting ones where when our other member, John Cannon, came down, we got some stuff that said, please don't hurt me. Now, this waitress was abused, I mean, to the point where she literally was safer at work. And that's where she ended up dying, unfortunately. But please don't hurt me happened a lot as well. And it was kind of weird.
We got some. So we have Ghost in the Machine tonight?
No, it's my stupid computer keeps unmuting.
Oh, okay. Okay.
It just decides it's, you know, gonna talk to itself. I'm not sure. Sorry.
Well, does it answer itself?
Yeah. Well, it's repeating John. It was really interested in whatever John was saying at that moment.
That's true. John, I do have a question from the chat.
Sure.
Audrey from the chat room. She wants to know, what kind of trigger objects are you using at this location?
It's funny that's asked. We really haven't used trigger objects at this location. We just started to really get into what I call our trigger object toolbox. So, honestly, we haven't really used trigger objects here. We had thought about using basically a Tommy gun sound for Johnny, but we haven't had a chance to actually go back and set up a case without to go back and do that yet.
Oh, well. What I got to ask you now as a follow up on that one. What's in your toolkit for trigger objects?
Well, it's very varied. We have obviously like matchbox type cars. I have a wooden yo-yo with a monkey on it as an image. a cross, some stuffed animals like teddy bears. I have a bell, actually, just a little tiny bell like you get at a wedding gift kind of deal that we can tie to something that you can't, if you swing it, it won't like ding. You actually have to grab the top of the bell and move it very forcefully to make it ring.
Oh, okay.
We have a couple like touch lights that you have to, like the stick and click type lights.
Mm-hmm.
Stuff along those lines.
Have you been getting any success with your trigger objects?
Not as of this time, no. But honestly, I think it just depends on the location too. I mean, some places we visited and used this, there's built-in trigger objects, so I'm not sure anything we bring in would actually necessarily get a result. They have their own stuff to play with.
Right.
Like the orphanage is a good example of that in Gettysburg. They have a table downstairs of just toys for the children to play with. And most of our stuff isn't, I don't think, as interesting as what they have down there.
Okay.
I mean, do you think maybe it's a, I guess, a restriction on their part that they go, oh, it's, that's not ours, that's yours. Why would I, you know, play with that one?
Well, at that place, at the orphanage, I would think so. With the headmistress spirit probably still being there and controlling the children, I would think so.
Okay.
At least for that location.
All right. Where else have you used your trigger objects?
Let's see. We've used Jenny Wade house, which is actually across the street from the orphanage in Gettysburg. We've used a ring since she was supposedly engaged before she was killed in Gettysburg, along with a bullet since she was shot by a Civil War bullet. We tried that there to mixed results. But then again, that property can be very hit or miss for our experiences. That's where we started out, the Jenny Wade House Museum, our very first case.
Oh, cool. It's a great place to start.
Yeah, that's a good starting point.
Yeah, that's what I was told. And honestly, when I jumped into doing an investigation, I can't honestly say I'd ever heard of Jenny Wade before. And after kind of, you know, getting my feet wet after like the first year and kind of looking around more groups and networking, I'm starting to see how many people know about it. And obviously Ghost Adventurers did it, so it's got some notoriety.
Well, now I got to ask the question. Like Rebecca's talked in the past how she has a knowledge base in history that she loves to look at historical sites, loves to do some historical research. As you're getting more involved in the paranormal, are you becoming that way as well now? I know it happened for me, too. I didn't get into this for the history of it, but it just all of a sudden fell in line, and it's, you know, kept me going.
Yeah, I love the history of it, and even history in general I've always loved. So I love going to places, and even like I was saying about STEMIs, you have so many different model renovations that it's kind of cool to see the changes over the years from like the 1700s, 1800s to the 20s, you know, and then to the more modern stuff in the building. It's really just cool to see those changes because a lot of properties, it's usually one way or the other. It's, you know, very modern with the outside looking older or, you know, exact opposite.
Yeah, I mean, the historical thing, obviously, it's one of my, somebody calls it an obsession. But it's just, it's one of those things that just draws you into the moment and you just kind of have to grab onto it. But it also is so based in the paranormal that you have to kind of embrace the history in order to get to wherever answers you're looking for.
Oh, yeah, because you never know when that one obscure reference to, you know, Mr. Smith might pop up in an EVP that just, you know, helps you put together who you were dealing with that night. And then that in its own right lets you know kind of your own style for like EVP work or, you know, asking questions kind of to see what works and what doesn't.
Absolutely.
Well, you were saying now that, you know, Mr. Smith may be able to help you out. Do you guys actually have anybody that does that type of research for you that can dig into the history of a location?
We just added another researcher full-time, Johanna, and she's been very good at finding some stuff. She's still getting her feet wet with, you know, resources, but she's gotten me a lot of good information. Like Fort Mifflin, we're visiting Friday for a little bit, just do some quick EVP work with another group, and New Jersey Rope, actually. And she's got me a ton of information that I'd never seen before. Not that it may be, you know, hidden information, but it's stuff that I know I haven't seen just looking at Mifflin history.
Oh, great.
So I'm happy with her right now, to say the least, that, you know, she's got us some info to work off of. You know, it's just a couple EVP questions to throw some names out there to try something, you know. We have that now instead of just going and going, is anybody here, you know.
All right, so if I understand what you're saying, you're a group that prefers to know the history of the location prior to going in so you can kind of direct your questions. Does that relate to, like, private residences as well?
In general, yes. I try to make sure I at least have all the information. I know a couple of our members like to go in cold just to get a feel for it themselves. No preconceived notions, if possible. And I also like to keep a few things, you know, close to the vest so that if somebody goes, well, you know, I got a smell of like lavender. And if that's, you know, and that's what's been reported and they didn't know that going in, that's interesting. You know, it kind of confirms what a client's saying.
So you kind of keep it partially open and partially, you know, tied in there.
Yep.
And that does that go for the, I guess, the haunted claims as well as the history of the building or the location?
Yeah, the history, I don't really hide from anybody unless it's directly related. I shouldn't even say hide. Hold back a little bit, you know, until my words are just not going good today. You know, if it's directly associated with the haunting, you know, claim, I might pull back a little bit on it just to see if somebody can fill in those gaps on their own from the case. And I think that helps us understand then what's kind of going on at a location.
Let me ask another question here about that. I'm a firm believer in what you said. I think somebody should always have the history of the location and be aware of the activity. But I also feel that it's best for people that are there to investigate it to go in, as you said, cold. So let them see what they can come up with. So I'm in, you know, agree with you 100% in that respect. But there's always should be that one person there, the person that's running the investigation should know what's happening.
Yep. And I know with one of our members, Chris, she'll have a tendency to talk to owners and clients and get some information sometimes that I don't have, you know, right away because, you know, she's talking to them upstairs while we're doing, you know, EVP work downstairs. So there's times that I find out about stuff secondhand too, the same way that, you know, our other members do. I experience something and then go, you know, I noticed this. And then somebody goes, oh, well, you know, she was just telling me that, you know, whatever. And it matched up. So that's pretty cool, I think.
Yeah, agree with you 100%. All right, guys, we're talking to John Fowler, the founder of Midnight Watchman and of the Paranormal Dictionary. And when we're going to take a break, and when we come back, I'll talk a little bit of the Paranormal Dictionary and a few other things. All right, guys, stay tuned.
Hi, this is Jeff Belanger, and when I'm not out there looking for the paranormal, you can find me in the shadows.
With the memories, regret is my home. This is my true freedom. Express all the feelings of what I become. I watch the rising sun. I hope I find some peace today. It seems I've got. We'll be right back.
Hi, this is Barry Fitzgerald, and I'll see you in the shadows.
Your source for everything paranormal, Para-X.
Welcome back to the Shadows Radio on yet another Wednesday night. During that break, they threatened to staple the mic to my forehead because apparently you all can't hear me. So I will be doing better to not bounce around. Hi, Mark.
Hi. Oh, well, let's be clear. I did not make that threat.
I was just going to say generic they, just to, you know, smooth the tide. But no, it was totally Eric.
It was totally Eric.
Hey, I just suggested a headset. That's all I did.
I had one. They took it away from me. I idiot-proofed myself, but no, that's not even true, because then I used to sit on the mute button all the time.
That is true.
So I guess it's six of one, half dozen of the other. Either way, I'm not going to be heard. But that other voice you heard in there, that is John Fowler, the founder of Midnight Watchmen and Paranormal Dictionary. So, hey, John, thanks for sticking around.
Oh, no problem. I'm enjoying it.
Through the physical threats of violence and all that.
You should hear our group meetings. This is nothing. So,
we're love. It's nothing but love around here.
That's why our catchphrase is "Shut up, Rebecca."
Every new member in my group, I tell them, if you can't handle a joke, you're not going to make it here, because we do hit each other pretty hard sometimes, and it's all in good fun, though, nothing negative.
Well, that's how you know you're bonding.
That's right.
They sound negative. I have to make that comment, but it's not.
This is true. But that's all part of the ribbing. You know, you get newbies in there. You got to take them for a ride, kick the tires, if you will.
Oh, yeah, Brandis. I'll give you a good example of that. We from Stemmy's place, there's an EVP from the bar. It said Guten Heights. It's German. And Pennsylvania talks like Mitch. Mix. He missed it. Nobody speaks German in our group. He missed it. I'm looking at another file to pull out for something for the client, Al, and I hear this in the middle of it, and I'm like, what the heck is this? And I said to him, I said, listen to this. He goes, what's that? I'm like, it's what you missed. He goes, what do you mean? I'm like, how do you miss German in the middle of us all talking?
Yeah.
Yeah. And he took it. He realized, he messed up. I had to laugh at it. I'm like, it's like, how do you miss German?
Oh, man.
But it's funny, though. You know, it's all good. And it taught him a lesson, you know, to make sure he not to zone out too much doing audio review.
Yeah, this is true. All right, let's switch gears here. Let's
switch gears, I'm sorry, I have one more question. Actually, from the chat room, they want to know, is Stemming's place open for investigations? And if so, how do they go about doing that?
I don't know if they're – for a while, he was only letting two groups in. For the most part, that was us and another one. I don't know if he's changed that or not. I'd have to kind of ask him that the next time I talk to him. So I really can't answer that. My only suggestion would be, if you want to get in as a group, go and try to talk to – the manager and see what they say.
Are they doing anything public? Any kind of events?
Not at this time. There was some talk of some public events in Halloween time, but I do not know if that's a go or if that was just talk.
Gotcha. Okay. Now we can shift gears.
Taking the newbies for a ride. We're shifting gears. Here we go.
Oh, so dirty.
You said it was dirty. That was not dirty.
You said we're going to take the newbies for a ride.
I said, well, you kick the tires and you take the newbies for a ride.
Mm-hmm. You got to test them out. That's what you said.
Shut up, Rebecca. Okay. The Paranormal Dictionary.
Mm-hmm.
What got you started to do that? I mean, that's quite an undertaking.
It is. Basically, I had bought the domain paranormaldictionary.com, I want to say back in 08 or 09, and had it set up as a standard, A to Z term site, just static HTML, nothing fancy, nothing really impressive, to be honest. It's just very simplistic. I had it sitting, trying to figure out what to do with it. And I finally decided, in November of, last year, that I need to do something different. Around that time frame, I was thinking I need to do something different. Because I went to update the site, and I realized stuff that was specific to mine was copy and pasted to other ones. And I realized nobody really, I don't want to say they're not original, but everybody's got their own little spins on it, and there's no one place to get stuff. And I don't know what made me think of it, but the wiki idea popped in my head, like a true dictionary, informational, almost overload, I guess you'd call the site. And I thought this would be a cool idea, and I kind of looked around. There is some wiki sites around, but I don't think any of them are doing what I'm attempting. We have groups, places, people, terms, books. Even some events have been added, like the Delaware Expo that we were at. I added that up. I'm trying to make it a one-stop shop in that regards, but I want the paranormal community to be a big part of that, you know, and I keep their own pages updated. And then hopefully it all spirals from there, besides just terms and other things that might have some different meanings.
Well, I know, for example, you, I'm not sure if you did it exactly when you did it, but I remember I got an invitation from you a while ago to go over there and to put in who I was. How many people do you have in there?
Off the top of my head, I don't know. We have over 400 pages right now, easily over 400 pages. They're mostly terms. Some people, I mean, right now, I believe New Jersey Ropes Group's pretty much involved in this. A lot of their members are on there. A couple of our own members from Midnight Watchmen are on there. Myself, you. I don't think. Did Rebecca? Did you make a page?
It's on my list. I haven't gotten to it yet. I'm sorry.
Okay. I know we had talked about it. I wasn't sure. I don't remember seeing it, but I didn't want to say you did, and, you know, it wasn't
somebody
up there.
Somebody made one for my paranormal group, but no, not a personal one yet.
I think I may have made a stub for your paranormal group, basically, just to get some info up. I mean, I added people like Jason Halls, you know, some of the more famous ghost, you know, hunters, and some of those people just because it's not always easy to contact them if you don't run into them.
Right.
Which actually did cause a little bit of an issue with Chris Williams, but that's a great story.
Okay, now you got to tell us that story. What issue was that?
Well, basically, what is one that when I first started, I took Wikipedia, which we all know Wikipedia's information is not always accurate. You know, it's just not. I copied it to an email, sent her an email, and said, you know, this is what we're doing with Paranormal Dictionary, you know, trying to make a, you know, the whole speech. I said, could you just tell me what's wrong with this info so that's correct? She sent me an email back saying thank you for that and told me to correct one thing, which is, I think, how she meant Jane Grant. That's it. Flash forward about a month or two later, promoting the site like I did, I posted on her Facebook page, you know, a link to the, you know, her page on Paranormal Dictionary. I get an email within like a day of that basically ripping me a new one saying, how dare I do that without her permission? So me being me just said, well, I'm sorry you feel that way. I will make the edit just for now. I'm like, but I did ask you, you know, per email, and I sent her the copy of the original email right in the bottom of that and said, next time, please sign up for your own account. I will not edit this again. Never responded back to me. She was not happy with me, and I don't know why. She must have forgot that other email, but I love when people give you an attitude over just nothing. And I think the even funnier thing was when I made a comment that a TAPS member pissed me off, an insider I know immediately signaled her out, which was funny. Because there's only two people, apparently, that have ever been with TAPS that have caused issues. It's her and Hornois.
Oh, wow. Well, what happened? Okay. Well, we don't want to talk about her. Let's just drop that one in for now.
That's going to be a long conversation.
Yeah.
From my understanding, I'm sure a lot of people have many uplifting stories about her.
Yeah. All right, so we're talking about you built this wiki, right?
Yep.
What was your ultimate goal, I guess, in putting this all together, other than to take down your glossary?
Well, basically, I thought, you know, in a way, it's a paranormal unit, even though that a term gets thrown around and there's many different takes on what that means, what it is, why it's good, why it's bad. To me, I'm like, it's one of the few times I think every group can work together in their own way. I mean, if you make a page for... Well, I'll use you as an example, Rebecca. You know, if you've been to a place that I've been to and somebody starts that place page, like, say, Fort Mifflin, if people would list on Fort Mifflin when they investigated it, if you get something really cool and you can and you look on that site and can see a group was there before and after you, you can contact that group then and see, did you guys get anything at, like, say, Casemate, you know, 5 or whatever? And if they got something very similar... Now you're starting to actually not just network, you're validating what you got or debunking it, depending what it is, you know, but it's good to know everybody wins in that situation.
And that's a great thing to do. If you could do something like that, or if people actually do that.
Yeah.
You know,
and
start
been a challenge to say the least. I know that.
You know, it's one thing people get evidence, and a lot of people say, yeah, I got an EVP, yeah, I got a photo, yeah. But nobody, or I shouldn't say nobody, rarely do you find people willing to share that with others and everybody could learn from it.
Yeah.
But really, it's to share it in a way that people could actually benefit from. A lot of people will put up stuff. They'll put up their EVPs. They'll put up their picture and go, look how great it is. Look what we caught. But they fail to put out the, hey, here's the specs behind it. What do you think? That's the piece that's missing.
I have a picture up from a private residence in Hatfield that I get a lot of debates on. And I understand what people are telling me they think is happening. And I had somebody who was a quote-unquote photo expert look at it, and the guy never got back to me. He just looked at it and never responded. And I just kind of looked at the, you know, people like that, and I go, then why did you throw your name in there to offer your, you know, to look at it, to give a definitive thing, and then just never respond? I understand a lot about photos over the years. I mean, I've probably taken close to a billion by now, you know, with investigations and personal. I understand light sourcing, how sometimes light moves in photos, creates some weird things, shutter speeds. I learned a lot over the years just, you know, doing things and kind of learning why things happen with, you know, digital cameras versus, you know, standard 35s and all that, you know, fun jazz, especially the orb end. I understand that better than I ever did coming into the paranormal, I guess, community. But people also, when they respond to stuff, sometimes they sound like, you know, jerks. I mean, to be nicely about it.
Oh, yeah.
They'll look at it and go right away, it's light sourcing. Not, it could be light sourcing, or it could be this, or we, you know, in our experience, it's this. No, it's this, and we're telling you it's that, and we're right because, you know, we're, you know, ex-paranormal or whatever, and I hope there's no group name with that, but, you know, generally speaking, you know, they think that they're better than these groups, and I don't think, like, our group's better than anybody. We have good people in it. I think we all have our, you know, heads in the right place. And we do make mistakes. There's some EVPs from back in 07 that I had labeled EVPs. When we finally, you know, went through it a second time, I narrowed down what it was, and it wasn't what we thought it was. And they got moved to a different section on our website. Mm-hmm. And that's accountability, which I think I try to preach to my team a lot. You know, if we mess up, you just have to admit we messed up and fix it as best we can.
Yeah, I agree with that 100%. And like you're saying, these people out there that are offering their opinion on evidence, be it EVP or photographic or video, a lot of those people that are out there are very set in their ways and are not open-minded to understand it could be other things. You know, like you're saying, it may not just be, or it could just be, you know, play of the light, or it could be a backscatter. It could be a whole bunch of other things. But they just come out there and say, no, it's the camera strap because we've taken one before and it looks just like that, so there is no other answer.
Well, yeah, I had a group, I forget who it was, I shouldn't say group, a person in a group I know that he sent me a picture when we were discussing that he got a similar result from. I seen his picture, and there's some similarities, but it's not nearly to the same level of issues that we had in ours. Mm-hmm. It's similar enough to think that it could be related, like phenomena, like naturally, light sourcing type deal with reflections and all that good stuff from the flash. But I'm not sold myself that that's a similar thing. It might be something closer to it, but it's not enough for me to go, yeah, it was definitely a reflection. It's a good debate, and I still love the photo. It's one of the two favorite ones I have just because it's kind of cool looking, to say the least, no matter what it really is.
Is that up on your website?
Yes, it is. I can actually have to look. It's actually on our Facebook and our website.
Well, why don't you let people know how they can go see that if they want to go take a look at that photo?
If you go to midnightwatchman.com, I believe it is under – I'm looking myself now, so I give the people the right – it's rare I ever look at the website without editing it. Under our pictures – or wait a minute. There we go. And it is the last one before a 50-50 section. Unexplained light mass at private residence, Hatfield, PA. About the fifth one down, I believe.
All right. I threw that into the chat room, guys, if you wanted. It's midnightwatchmen.com. You can find John and his team and everything that they are up to. And speaking of that, John, do you got anything fun coming up?
Right now, we're kind of in review catch-up mode big time. I just added, like I said, the researcher, and I have another possible investigator coming in, local from us, that's interested in joining. I have to meet up with. So nothing too fancy. I know we're doing Fort Mifflin on Friday this week, real quick with, like I said, New Jersey Rope, just to have some fun, an hour or two there, try some EVP session, do some training, see how things are done differently from some other groups. I'm hoping next month to start jumping back into trying to get some better cases, bigger cases, website updates and all the fun stuff that, you know, sometimes gets behind with life issues.
Oh, those tricky website updates. Yeah. Been there.
I don't think they're tricky. It's just we've been so far behind on review for some of our own, like, cases, because we had a couple private cases pop up that took most of our time. I haven't had time to update the website. We have our blog goes up, you know, every week we have a new blog, but that's usually our Q&A or something along those lines, or my thoughts sometimes will pop up, or John Cannon's, but nothing too new or fancy yet. Hopefully the next couple months I can get my butt in gear to get some of our web episodes going, which I've been working on for, it seems like, forever now.
What are the web episodes that you're doing?
Just our way of kind of our own TV show, I guess you can call it, you know, showcase what we've done in, you know, a place like Stemmy's or Jenny Wade or, you know, whatever. I'm just still working on doing it the way I want to do it. I've seen a lot of different versions of people's web episodes, some good, some bad, some mixed. I'm just trying to find something I'm happy with, which is the biggest issue right now.
That's always the tricky part, is trying to, you know, pare everything down, because I'm sure you've got piles and piles of tapes to go through. And
well, yeah, I know what I want to do, but the biggest problem is sitting down and getting it in a form that's visual. Like, a couple other groups, I don't want to name names because I don't want to bash anybody, you know, indirectly, but like, their episodes have good ideas, like, but they just fail. And I don't, for me anyway, and I just, I know what I see that they're doing wrong, and I'm trying not to fall into that trap of, you know, overly, you know, horror look where it's just, you know, fast cutaways and, you know,
yeah,
it just doesn't work for me. That's the best way I can put it.
Well, that's kind of what you have to do in this field. You take what, you know, that great idea that somebody else had, and you go, all right, that worked, that didn't, that worked, that didn't, and then try and piece it together for yourself, mm-hmm. and put your own stamp on it. And that takes a lot of time. So hopefully we'll see those soon.
Well, I know some good people, so at least I can, you know, I know, like, Brian and Christopher from Scared, so it's like I can get some ideas from them. You know, they've been doing documentaries and filming for a long time, so at least I know I can talk to them and ask questions. I'll get an answer. You know, they're good people. I don't have to worry about, you know, at least 100%, you know, trying to do something on my own and going, wow, I have no idea what's, you know.
Yeah, what's going on. All right, well, we're coming down to the very end of the show. So real quick, John, why don't you give everybody your website address again?
Midnight Watchman is www.midnightwatchman.com, and then Paranormal Dictionary is www.paranormaldictionary.com.
And pretty much anybody can sign up and put a page up or some information up, correct?
That is correct, and if anybody has questions, they can feel free to email me or find me on Facebook or contact us through the Watchman website or even through Paranormal Dictionary.
All right, and does Stemmy's Place have a website or anything like that people can look up?
They have no website as of now. That's something he's been working on. I'm not sure where that's sitting.
Okay, well, never mind then. All right, what city and state's that in, so people can find it then?
It's Easton, PA, I believe is the address. It's River Road 611, South Delaware Drive. I think it's 831 South Delaware Drive, Easton, PA, I do believe.
Okay, that's a good start. You guys can Google. They're all very skilled.
Have you Googled today?
That's personal information.
I'm sorry, you said wiki.
I did say wiki. I actually said wiki in a meeting today at work. That was just scary. Yeah. It's corporate slang, apparently. I didn't realize that. All right, John. Well, we want to thank you so much for coming on, sharing your knowledge about the Black Horse, now Stemmy's Place. Mm-hmm. We appreciate that, and for sharing all about Midnight Watchman. We really loved having you on tonight.
Well, I enjoyed it, so thank you for inviting me.
Yep, absolutely. And we will talk to you soon.
Okay.
Thanks, John. You take care. It was great speaking with you.
Great talking to you too, Mark.
All right. Take care.
Bye. See you.
Bye.
We're going to say bye for like 20 minutes. So that's one of those places, Mark, that you and I have both tried to get into in the past and just never works out, you know?
Yeah, I tried for years to get in up there. And one time I was like, yeah, come on in. And then, no, never mind. Don't come in.
It was empty for a while, you know, yeah.
Then it was come in at like 2 in the afternoon.
Nice.
And you could come in for 45 minutes or something. It was, oh, come on.
Yeah, I had it when it was empty, and they were like, yeah, it's fine. And then they were like, no, it's not fine, insurance purposes. I was like, oh, never mind.
Yeah, so bad. It's just so much going on. You just, bleh.
Yeah.
You can only push so hard, and then you just say, all right, enough of that one.
But I'm glad that John and his group got some good stuff out of that. I mean,
yeah, it's pretty awesome.
Good to push that that history along, especially, like, I didn't know about the gangster that got shot.
Yeah, I didn't either. That's all news to me.
Yeah, exactly. So, like I said, it's always good when somebody else can push the information along.
This is true.
And if you've been to Paranormal Dick, have you been to ParanormalDictionary.com yet? It's a good idea, and I hope it takes off for him. I really do. Like I said, it's on my list of things I have to do and just haven't gotten around to is building my page yet.
Yes, I have a mention on there somewhere. I know I'm on there. I haven't done anything with it for quite some time, but if people utilize it in the method that he was speaking of, you know, sharing evidence and, you know, coordinating on a site, that would be fantastic.
Yeah, I think it's a great forum, especially since it's available to be edited by everyone. I think it's gonna work out really well as long as people, they don't abuse it. That's the only thing that, I mean, as long as you have people, you have someone who's going to screw around and, you know, mess it up for everybody else. So hopefully he can kind of keep that down to a minimum and everyone can use it the way it's intended.
Yeah, this is true. You know, you don't want people, never mind, I'm not going to say what I was just thinking. Forget that.
All right, well, we are coming down to the end of the show. Okay. As always, we have a fun guest lined up for next week, though.
Who do we got?
We are going to be talking to a woman named Carol. Carol has lived in the same house for approximately her entire life, which I'm not allowed to tell you how long that is, you know. And she's a great woman. She's actually a paranormal client. She's had several paranormal teams into her home to investigate, and she's willing to come on and talk to us about what it's like to be on the other side of the investigation. She's not involved in the paranormal in any way other than having her home investigated. So it's going to be very interesting to see, you know, kind of her take on what it's like to have somebody come in, some total strangers tramping around your house, what it's like waiting for evidence, all that kind of stuff.
Oh, will she be naming names?
It depends, in a good or a bad way.
You know me, I want the bad.
I don't think she's had I don't know if she's had a bad experience. I didn't ask that part, but I guess we can definitely ask that next week.
Okay.
But next week's also a milestone for you, is it not?
Yes, it is.
Do you want to tell why?
Do I want to tell why? No, let's make everybody guess. Guys, I've got a lot of things that have been happening in my life recently, and I'm going to be stepping away from the shadows. I'll be stepping into the light, if you will. Get that? Shadows light.
Hi, I got that. Turning on the flashlight. How's that?
So I'll be turning over the reins solely to Rebecca, and I believe she has somebody that she'll be bringing on with her. That will be announced by Rebecca when she's ready to do so. And, of course, I wish them all nothing but the greatest success. And, you know, I love her. I love you guys. You guys have been phenomenal, and it's been a great time working with you all.
Yeah, and we're definitely going to miss you. It's not going to be quite the same dynamic. Nobody's going to say shut up anymore. So you'll just have to call me every once in a while and just be like, hey, Rebecca, shut up.
I'll text you.
No, but, I mean, we will miss having you around. The Shadows is going to continue in a new form, and actually it's going to move to Monday nights in the middle of June. So going to give it a little bit of a shake-up. We figure, you know, since we're shaking up the host, we might as well shake up the nights as well. See if
there
that kicks some stuff into it. But, so we've got some stuff coming up, and unfortunately, Mark will only be with us in spirit.
That's right.
So
that's
next week we'll have to have a big party. Everyone bring cake.
Yay, bring cake. Yay, bring cake. A beer.
Oh, beer? No gin?
Oh.
That's what I
thought. All right, guys. Well, thank you for listening to us and listening to me ramble for the past year. It's been a lot of fun, and I will talk to you one last time next week. But until then, have a great week, everybody.
And we'll see you next week.